Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Velocity Athletic Training Radio, created and hosted by Layla Smolak, your number one personal trainer with a wealth of knowledge, education, and experience in the fitness industry in areas of management, corporate wellness, programming and training, nutrition, and business owner. Layla will have you get up, move, unleash your inner athlete. Here's your host, Layla Smolak.
Welcome. I am live in British Columbia, Canada. My special guest, he's a returning special guest, Craig Stelflu. Did I say that correctly, Craig?
Yes, you did, Layla. Good job.
Yay. This episode is the cortisol connection. So it's a follow-up, basically, from our two previous episodes where we discussed the thyroid. And I just wanted to actually throw out some statistics here in relation to stress, because I believe that cortisol causes, well, stress causes our cortisol levels to rise. But before I do that, just a little bit of information about Craig. He's a retired cancer nutritionist and neurodevelopment specialist with 20 years of clinical experience. Craig is a former health news writer for Natural News. He also hosted Real Health Talk on AM and FM radio in East Texas and in Phoenix for over 20 years, while writing hundreds of health-related articles. And these are archived at realhealthtalk.com. He is now retired from Healing Pathways Medical and Day Spring Cancer Clinics in 2014 and moved to the Great Pacific Northwest, where he enjoys seven of grandkids while writing. Welcome to the show, Craig.
Well, thank you, Layla. In fact, we're almost neighbors. We just got this border between us, Canadian border.
I know.
Yeah, so I could probably just
crazy?
Meet you at the border, and we could have a conversation.
Get rid of the border, and we can just be happy neighbors, right?
Yeah, lean on the Jersey barrier and have a talk, and
yeah, exactly.
Talk about cortisol and stuff.
That's right.
Well, cortisol actually relates to both of my fields. Cancer, there's a huge cancer connection with cortisol, and it also relates to the brain. Especially being hypercortisol, which you've been through the ringer on stress, and you know that when your cortisol gets up, you can't think. It actually wipes out your memory, and you get so stressed you can't even think straight. You can't even see the problem because you get so stressed with cortisol, and there's a huge cortisol connection to stress. But I do want to caution you before the end of the show, I'm going to show you that it's also a two-way street when it comes to stress versus high cortisol, which is stuff that you want to hear.
I was doing some research on stress, the percentage of stress in both that affects Canadians and Americans. And in the United States, 24% reported that they were under stress in 2018 as compared to only 18% in 2014. And the primary culprit was money and, of course, work seemed to be, you know, the stressors, which is the common situation. Mm-hmm. But Americans admitted that they were more stressed with the direction of their future. And I took this information from the American Psychology Association. Now, in Canada, you know what? We're not too far off in terms of percentage here because according to Statistics Canada in 2014, 23% of Canadians between the ages, now get this, the ages of 15 and older experienced stress.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's like 6.7 million people who quoted days were quite a bit or extremely stressful. And this is information that I researched on Statistics Canada's website. So when we look at these numbers, and especially in Canada, between the ages of 15, I mean, really? Are the youth starting to experience?
That's shocking.
Stress? Yeah. That is shocking.
Well, let's wade into this.
It's shocking and it's scary.
Yeah, let's wade into this and see if we can understand what the cortisol connection to stress would be. And you consider cortisol to be like your stress shock absorber in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So stress hits, it's your shock absorber. And cortisol is something you can't just go to your doctor and get a test right now and know what your cortisol is doing, because your cortisol changes all through the day. It actually changes sometimes minute to minute, but overall, when you wake up in the morning, your cortisol should be high. And it takes adrenaline and cortisol to digest and get your day started, and you know, you go work hard in the fields, and then the cortisol starts to deplete. It starts to degrade. It's actually opposed by another hormone called melatonin. So through the day, your cortisol drops and your melatonin rises. And you know what melatonin is, right? That's your sleep hormone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So these two are like a seesaw. We talked about the thyroid and the adrenals being a seesaw. If one's high, the other one's low. And if one's, you know, if your thyroid's too low, your adrenals come up to make the difference. And then the cortisol comes from your adrenals also.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like the hungry lion comes after you and you shag and you get around the fence and shut the gate and the lion just barely misses you. Your adrenaline is pumping, baby. You just outrun the lion. But the problem with the stress that we're feeling in North America is that we never come down off that adrenal high. And it's almost like a PTSD, a post-traumatic stress syndrome problem, where you're still running from the lion, even though that was 3 weeks ago. And then our cortisol stays high. Well, what happens to your melatonin? It defeats your melatonin. And another thing that defeats our proper cortisol and melatonin balances, we stay up too late. And another thing is we eat big meals at the wrong time. So when your melatonin's trying to come up at 5, 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night, that's not the time to be eating a big meal and raising your cortisol, which pumps your melatonin down. And one of the biggest connections between cancer and cortisol is the fact that you don't have melatonin. And then your hormone-related cancers strike because you're out of balance. And so which came first, though? Did your high cortisol come first, or did your stress come first, or did they kind of come together because you've got lousy eating habits and because you've got bad sleeping habits and because you're, you know, all these things, they raise your cortisol, and your cortisol responds, and you're stressed out more because you're stressed out because you're, it's a wicked, wicked cycle. And then
like a vicious
now
cycle.
You're gaining, you're waning gaining weight, you have hormone imbalances, heart disease, excessive blood sugar levels, elevated cholesterol, all this stuff, you know, including a lack of a sex drive, can be related to your cortisol. And that can be related to your, of course, your thyroid. And even autoimmune diseases are related to high cortisol, like rheumatoid arthritis. They'll have high cortisol, and they also experience a loss of circadian rhythms. And it's bad, and it doesn't get better.
So pardon me. So if our cortisol levels are high, it opens up weight, like, you know, your body starts to gain weight. Can it have, like, the opposite effect? Like, can you, you know, if you're under stress, whatever the stress factor is, whether it's, you know, you're worried about over money, work, you know, other issues, can it have the opposite effect where you find that you're sleeping too much, or, and it can it bring on depression? Does it have that effect?
Oh, absolutely.
Well,
it can go to one extreme or the other on the weight, because cortisol, high cortisol, actually causes catabolism, which is the casting down of your, you know, instead of metabolism, you're breaking things down instead of building things up, and you're losing muscle. And you are the fitness guru of BC, and you know that building muscle is what you want to do. And if you have high cortisol, you're losing muscle, but then you're also gaining weight. And in particular, it's you gain what I call a cortisol belly, and it's around your midsection, but it's a little high in your stomach, almost up around your diaphragm is where it kind of likes to show up.
I see that a lot in women. That's a common problem. That's the first area of the body that they go to, and they say, well, I want to lose this. This is the problem. You know, so, of course, you know, anybody will experience stress differently, whether they gain weight, whether they're losing weight, whether they oversleep, or they don't get enough sleep.
Right.
It all depends, right?
Yeah, and so you go to your doctor
Well, this is what we need to do. We need to find out what the hormones are doing.
Yes, and it's not
the same
you
apply
can just
to
a
men as well.
Yeah, go to your doctor. Am I hyper cortisol? Do I have high cortisol? And he'll take a snapshot and he'll say, you look fine, but what time of day did you take that snapshot? And the only way to really test your cortisol would be throughout the day. So you do a spit test, and you want to do it at least 6 times during the day, which is more expensive than one little snapshot. But you've got to know if it starts out high and goes low. Or some people are actually upside down. Their cortisol starts out low, and by evening it comes high. Well, these guys are your night owls, and they're also at a higher risk for cancers. So going to your doctor, getting a check, that's a fine thing to do, but you got to be sensible about it, know what you're asking for, what you're looking for, because some of these doctors either don't know or they don't care. Or they're, you know, if you go to a dermatologist, that's what they treat. And, you know, everybody's so specialized these days that they may or may not consider this to be a hormone problem related to your cortisol. So they're not going to check that. The cancer people may or may not check your cortisol. It depends on the tools available to them and what they've learned. And, you know, some cancer experts think it's all about the enzymes. And we treat you with enzymes, you've got a bigger chance of cancer going away. And some people do the diet, and some people do the IV vitamin C, and some people some doctors actually check the cortisol in relation to cancer. And the best way, the best thing to do is take the multi-prong attack when it comes to health problems. And cortisol is something that should be looked into, especially if you're concerned about building muscle. And did you know, Layla, I don't know if you knew this, but if you work out 3 days in a row, you actually raise your cortisol, where if you work out 2 days in a row and take a day off, you lower your cortisol. So you can actually work out too much and raise your cortisol.
Right. And that can also lead to injury as well, right?
Yes.
But that's called overtraining. You're stressing, you're putting too much demand, physical demand on the body, especially if you're getting back into, you know, any sort of training.
Right, and then you're losing muscle instead of building muscle,
Exactly.
And you go like, but I work out every day. Well, we got to have balance.
So the
in our
test.
Life.
I'm curious about the test. So you called it a spit test. So what's involved with that? Is that something a naturopathic doctor can do, or can someone just go to their regular?
Medical doctors can do
for
this
the cortisol.
Too. You probably have to request it because, face it, people have Google available. People have shows like this available. People are alerted to this where their doctor might not have a clue. And not that he's a bad doctor, but we are responsible for our health. You, Layla, are responsible for your health. And if you put it solely and exclusively in the hands of a doctor, you're kind of dependent on how smart and how versatile and how forward-thinking this doctor is. Does he rely on inspiration, or does he go by the cookie-cutter method where everybody gets this? And so we get 40% of people improve with this, so it must work.
Right. Yeah. Now, how can we normalize our cortisol levels? Like, what can we do to contribute to keeping it in check?
Mm-hmm. Well, probably the biggest thing is to set your circadian rhythms. Go to bed at 9, 10 o'clock. If you're having trouble going to sleep and you could be too hypercortisol, well, take some melatonin. Guess what? It's going to push your cortisol down, and it won't do it in 3 minutes. It's going to take 15, 20 minutes, maybe even an hour, depending on how high your cortisol is. And the higher your cortisol, the more melatonin it will take. So you want to kind of start that one off slow. That's a big deal. The other big deal is to eat correctly. If you eat too many carbs, this raises your cortisol. So you want to avoid a lot of carbohydrates, especially gluten. Gluten causes inflammation. If you're hypercortisol, then your inflammatory responses will be out of whack. So you want to avoid the carbs. You want to eat more fats and proteins, healthy fats and proteins, mind you, because healthy humans have to eat healthy food to stay healthy.
Right.
Or you won't stay healthy for long. And here's something we can do. Do you want to lower your cholesterol right now? Your cortisol right now. Well, let's do this little exercise, Layla. Just take a deep breath.
Okay.
And let it out. And now smile. Smile, because this just seems so ridiculous.
And laugh.
And laugh a little. Well, congratulations, Layla.
It lowers
the
cortisol.
You just lowered your cortisol. And
oh, wow,
done,
eh? So
they've
simple.
Done scientific experiments where they take the high cortisol patient, and they show them a funny movie, The Three Stooges, for 20 minutes. And then they test their cortisol, and it's like, wow, it's lower. So we also have to disengage from the stress.
I believe that. I mean, the more laughter you have and remaining positive, right? And I guess that's where all this new wave is coming from, surround yourself with positive people and smile, and it does affect the health.
Yes.
In today's world, Craig, I believe this is why this statistic for Canadians in 2014, 23% of Canadians between the ages of 15. Like, when I think back at when I was 15, my gosh, I wasn't stressed out. I mean, hey, I found a part-time job while going to school, but I don't ever recall being stressed. And I think today's youth, they have a different, obviously they're growing up in a different environment. They're exposed.
Right.
And I'm saying this because, and you may know this too, because you've got grandchildren, they're more exposed to violence.
Right.
If you look at when we were growing up, we didn't have games and a screen that, in these games, it's nothing but violence, like guns and, and degrading women, and that's a stressor in itself. That rate,
social media puts it right in your face.
Exactly, and then when you listen to any type of news in today's, you know, whether you're on social media or on, you know, watching television, someone's gotten murdered, or there's more of this and more of that, and you're. I believe the human mind can become overloaded with too much information.
Right? Yeah,
and you sit back and you go, what kind of world is this becoming?
Yeah.
You know, you're hearing more about protests, more about wars, and more about, you know, see, today's youth is being exposed on a daily basis. And I think that's where we can honestly say that would be the answer for people between the ages of 15 and older, like that.
Right.
I think that's very sad.
I
feel sorry.
Yeah, let's look at one other thing. You know, have you heard of glyphosate, Roundup? Have you heard of Roundup?
I'm sorry?
Roundup. They use it to kill wheat.
Yes.
And they use it to spray
the
cotton before they harvest the cotton, or they spray the corn plant. The corn plant dies, then they go through and they harvest the corn, and then you eat the corn, and you get some of this chemical on you, and that actually has caused a new disorder called steroidogenesis, and the basis is all of your steroid hormones, including your cholesterol and your sex hormones and your cortisols. This glyphosate interferes and inhibits the enzymes that help you convert these different hormones from cholesterol. So your cholesterol's up and your hormones are down. And what little it can convert, it converts it into estrogen. And now we've got ultra hyperfeminization going on across the board, male and female.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing. And then you get the social media stress from the whole gender dysphoria rap and all that stuff coming on, and there's stress from that. But, Kelly, Molly, we don't die, we kill ourselves. But there are some other things we can do that are good aside from sleeping, eating right, of course. Vitamin B6 and 12 are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And, let's see, what else? Vitamin C, foods that are high in vitamin C, the oil, DHEA, you know, fish oils and stuff.
Right.
Those are good. We're not getting enough of those in our diet naturally.
You know what I
hypercortisol.
Always enjoyed doing was juicing. I always enjoyed juicing like carrot. One green apple, and this is all organic, beet, and yes, onion, and yes, garlic.
Wow.
I know some people would say to me, Layla, you smell like garlic. I'm like, well, I just had juice, which I, you know, put garlic in. But you know what?
That's awesome.
I had a lot of energy, and then I would mix and match. Like I would add, you know, parsley to it or celery, but the main ingredients always remained carrot, one green apple, onion, and garlic, and beet. Those
lots
were the five ingredients,
vitamins,
and then I would just
good enzyme
play around.
Yeah.
So, and you know what? I had more energy. I felt my body, especially digestion, was operating optimally.
And you were probably
because
more
garlic
relaxed.
Is very cleansing.
You slept better, you were more relaxed.
Yeah.
So that's all great stuff to do. I mean, it starts with the diet, what you put in your body chemically, food-wise, environmentally, and emotionally, that all affects us, and you know this just as well as I do. And that's what this is about. That's what your show is about. Let's alert people to this.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, let's look for this cortisol
connection.
Now, how
does exercise? I know I'm asking you the question that you should be asking me, but how does exercise and fitness training affect cortisol? Now, I know, looking back, just share a little quick story. when I first started in the fitness industry, now, you know, bear in mind, I was 16 years old, and I was on the track team at school, which meant after school, I would be training with the team. And then I would head over to my job as a fitness leader, and I would teach 5 classes every evening. Now, I remember one evening, that's heavy training. We're talking about depleting my body constantly, right?
Right.
Because when you do train, you are depleting as well. So one night I was teaching a high impact class. And back then when we taught high impact, I mean, we were bouncing. I mean, you know, knees lifting up, and we were doing jumping jacks, all sorts of high impact movements. As I was teaching, we're supposed to be warm and sweating when we're doing high impact.
Oh,
I was the extreme opposite. I was freezing. And then it got worse after the class. And so I had to go, you know, I called my dad to pick me up. I went to the hospital. And the doctor told me, he says, "How much cardiovascular training do you do?" And my
too
dad
much.
Says to him, he says, "It's too much. She's always running and jumping." I said, "What's the problem? Why am I freezing?" He says, "First of all, your potassium levels." He says, "I'm surprised right now you haven't had a heart attack yet."
Well, and how old were you?
He says, "They are so low." I was 16.
Yeah. I know. Well,
so you know,
exercise.
When we talk about overtraining and fitness and all, it's all, yes, but in moderation.
Yeah,
so
even
it was a rude awakening. He
yeah.
said, "You got to have," sorry, the doctor said to me, "You got to eat 3 bananas a day.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your potassium levels balanced." And all this, you know, running and then teaching 5 classes, especially a high impact, he says, "You're just depleting your body. You need to keep replenishing as well when you deplete." And back then, you know what? There wasn't so much research on this, right? You know, coach would say, "Okay, make sure you eat well," and you know, but it would never handed us, "Okay, this is what I want you to eat." You know, not like now. Now it's, I mean, look at the supplement industry; it's crazy.
Right.
The
multi-million-dollar
industry.
Right, and it's not even healthy.
So,
product sometimes it's got garbage in it, and if we're going to be healthy humans, I said it before, we need to eat healthy foods, we need to take healthy supplements.
Exactly.
And supplements just fill in the gap until you fix the actual cause of the problem, which would be in diet, or in your case back then it was over exercising. And I'm saying in general people need about 40 minutes of good solid cardio activity, up to 40 minutes a day, a couple days in a row, then they need to sit out a day. And they need to recover.
Mm-hmm.
The body's a pump. And it needs to pump, it needs to move, but you also need to put in good food and pump out, you know, make sure you're eliminating good food. And this goes spiritually, physically, emotionally, and it all works together. Now, there are some other things you can take. If you are actually really whacked on your adrenals and your thyroid and your cortisol levels, there's something called ashwagandha. That is a supplement.
Oh, yes.
That is good. Rhodiola is another good one. Definitely vitamin C.
Mm-hmm.
Vitamin C buffers your immune system, and it also helps buffer your cortisol levels. So those are probably three of the main ones.
I love having you on the show. You're such an inspiration to listen to. You have so much information. But we're running out of time.
I know. Yeah, maybe we should kick this up to 1 hour.
So, yeah, definitely. What if anybody wants to, you know, get in touch with you, is there a website or do you have an email?
Right, realhealthtalk.com. That's realhealthtalk.com, and you can email me through the website.
Great. Well, We got to wrap it up. And
Layla, once again, thank you.
You're welcome. Enjoy the rest of the day.
All right. You're awesome, Layla. I had fun. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Velocity Athletic Training Radio. Visit Layla at www.velocityathletictraining.com today. Follow at Layla Velocity.